coming. Yeah, I've been hanging on to high hopes, 'cause you're the one that's making dry bones come to life. You're the light I put my trust in.
You say it's gonna come true, you will lead me to the promised land. And everything you say is gonna happen, even though I haven't seen it yet. I will build a boat in the sand where the sands never rains. I will stand up in faith, I'll do anything it takes. With your wind in my sail, your love never fails to fade. I build a boat in the desert place, and when the flood and the water starts to rise, I'll ride the storm, 'cause I got you by my side. With your wind in my sails, your love never fails to fade. I build a boat, so let it rain.
And you're my map, you're my compass. You help me navigate the currents underneath, and take the lead, I surrender.
Every word you say is gonna come true, you will lead me to the promised land. And everything you say is gonna happen, even though I haven't seen it yet. I will build a boat in the sand where the sand never rains. I will stand up and faint, I'll do anything it takes. With your wind in my sails, your love never fails to fade. I build a boat in the desert place, and when the flood and the water starts to rise, yeah, I'll ride the storm, 'cause I got you by my side. With your wind in my sails, your love never fails to fade. I build a boat, so let it rain. I build a boat, so let it rain.
And I will build a boat in the sand, they say it never rains. I will stand up in faith, I'll do anything it takes. With your wind in my sail, your love never fails to fade.
I'll build a boat in the desert place, and when the flood and the water starts to rise, yeah, I'll ride the storm, 'cause I got you by my side. With your wind in my sail, your love never fails to fade.
I'll build a boat, so let it rain.
Song. When God calls you, are you willing to go? He tells you to build a boat in the desert and the whole world thinks you're crazy. Are you willing to go? Amen. Amen. Let's sing, "Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing." Let's stand.
Come, thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet, by flaming tongues above. Praise the mountain fixed upon it, mount of thy redeeming love. Here I raise my Ebenezer, here by thy great help I've come. And I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He to rescue me from danger interposed his precious blood. Oh, that day when free from sinning, I shall see thy lovely face, clothed sovereign grace. Come, my Lord, no longer tarry. Take my ransom soul away. Send thine angels now to carry me to realms of endless days.
Oh, to grace.
Oh, to grace, how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness, like a fetter, bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love.
That will change the order of service. Sing Word of God Ever True.
Holy Word, long preserved for our walk in this world, may resound with God's own heart. Oh, let the Word of God
true. Changing me, changing you. That's the only thing that's going to change us. We can't change of our own self because we're just a bunch of humans. And if God don't change us, we're not going to change. Amen? Good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to have each and every one of you here. Good to be alive and well and serving the Lord. That was a good song. I appreciate that. That was a real good song. That's hard. That song's hard. When you're singing it going down the road, you can't keep up with him hardly. It was pretty tough, but I sure enjoy that. That was a beautiful song. And when it's sung by the bride, it has a little different ring to it. You know, they sing it professionally with every note. And I was listening to one going up to camp the other day, and I mean you hear all that reverberation in the back, and you hear that it sounds like they're in a big concert hall. That's all added. That's all fake stuff. They add all that. And the squeaky voices, they take them out. So the only thing is real is the people of God. The people of God real. When you sing, you can sing out of tune. You can sing squeaky, whatever you want to sing. But you do it to the glory of God. And that's all that matters. So if you got your Bibles, let's turn to the book of Luke. The first question that we have today is, what is the bosom of Abraham? So we're going to discuss that just a little bit. And it's a good question. But remember also, too, the announcements. Remember the paper down on the, it's on, I meant to tell you today, it's on the refrigerator downstairs. And just get ready for this in 2 weeks. Brother Bob will be speaking this coming Sunday. I'll be gone. I'll be in Kentucky hunting. And then the 17th will be our Thanksgiving dinner. Church will be providing the meat, and then you just provide the sides. And then we sure do appreciate each and every one of you staying for communion and foot washing. And it just seems that sometimes that ordinances are not important to people. And I'm sorry, but they are. God put them in there. You tell me where he took them out. So they're very important to do. And the Lord said, do this till I come. Well, we know he come in 63, and I've heard that argument before, but I believe what Brother Brown said about the gifts. I believe the ordinances, too. The ordinances were given to keep the church clean. Right. Everything God gave us was to keep the church clean. There's nothing dirty about God. Right. It's us. We're the dirty ones, and we have to be kept clean. We have to be washed by the water of the word all the time. Man, to get the dirty smut of the world off, and we sure appreciate you being here. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, thank you for this day you've given us. Thank you for the word that you've given us, that you've given us this full 7-course meal, Lord, that when we open the pages of the book, we can read it like no one else on the face of the earth. We can read it with inspiration, and we can read it with faith that it was given to us by a prophet in the end time correctly. We don't have to wonder whether this one's right or that one's right. Lord, we know that you sent us a prophet that gave us a correct interpretation of the word of God. Lord, just as you wrote it, we're seeing it, Father. And I pray that you just be with each one. Give us all strength for this journey. Bless the ones that are sick, the ones that couldn't be here, Lord. I pray that you'd bless them. Be with Brother Bob and them. They'll be on the way back pretty quick on the highways. Bless each one as we travel, Father, around the country in different places. Lord, it's just the devil wants to get rid of us. And Lord, I pray that you'll protect us and let that angel be sitting there with us, Lord, and everywhere we go and everything we do. But we'll be fearful to give you the praise and honor and glory for all things that we have and all things that we do and all the things that's coming up, Father. I pray that you'd bless each one. Open the words to us, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's read the book of Luke. Can everybody see that okay? Don't ask me to do something again. Hang on. How's that? That work? Okay. All right, Luke 16, verse 22. Now, it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, and being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom, and cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Go ahead and be seated, and we'll continue reading this. But the question was, what is the bosom of Abraham, or Abraham's bosom? And it's also called paradise. All right. It's also called paradise. Jesus told the thief, he said, today you'll be with me in paradise. All right. Now, the bosom of Abraham, as we continue reading this, the bosom of Abraham is what the Old Testament saints looked toward. They looked toward Abraham. Abraham was their father, the father of faith. He was, and I was thinking a few minutes ago, you know, man, it's a great mystery. Nobody you know until Brother Branham came along, no one said that Abraham and Sarah had their body changed. Nobody. They just had a child in their old age. That's what the Bible says. But we realize, and I think the people that studied the Word of God in that time realized also that there was something happened to Abraham and Sarah. It was something abnormal. They had a child, and then grandma was so beautiful that a king wanted her. You know, so I think they read between the lines their self, because even, you know, we all know that Brother Dale always told us that the Pharisees knew what happened in the garden. See, they weren't full of all this other ideas back then, even when Caiaphas was here on earth 2,000 years ago. When Jesus came along, they were blinded to who Jesus was, but they weren't blinded to what happened in it. They read that Old Testament way more than we read the New Testament. It was required that they know that thing. I mean, up, down, sideways, whatever. They said, you know, you could roll it up and stick a pen through it, and they'd tell you every scripture that it went through. So they studied it. They weren't just dilatory and said, well, we're looking for a Messiah. No, they knew how he would come. And even Jesus said, have I not come in the way that the Word said I was going to come? Where have I missed it at? And I say that the same thing with Brother Branham. Where did they miss it at? They missed it in him coming, being the prophet in the end time, and just called him a good guy. He was a good preacher. He had a good healing ministry. But when he started preaching, you know, he was off. Well, that's, we don't believe that. We know that. All right. So what is the bosom of Abraham? So everyone looked toward Abraham. Abraham was the father of their faith. Abraham was the father of their nation. And that's kind of weird because Abraham was a Gentile. You know, but they call Abraham, you know, the father. He was a Hebrew. Abraham, the father of our faith. Well, they looked toward Abraham for everything. Definitely Lazarus, he identified in hell. He knew who Abraham was because he said, Father Abraham. So the bosom of Abraham was a place. The word bosom means right here, in the center. Your sisters, you take your children and you put them in your bosom, right? You put them right here, in your breast, right here, to hold on, because that's where your heart is. Well, that's when people, they couldn't call it anything else. There was really nothing in the Old Testament except that they would pass away and that some may be an angel and some may be this. But they knew that if you were faithful to Abraham and you're faithful to the doctrines of Abraham, that you were going to go into a place. All right, they were going to a place of holding or waiting, because remember, I think maybe some of the question will develop here in just a few minutes, because there's a difference in the bosom of Abraham. There's a difference in that paradise and what we're looking at now. All right, there's a difference there. We know there's one thing for sure. God knew people would die, so he set a place for everyone to go. There's not a soul wandering somewhere out in another dimension that's just wandering around, and then all of a sudden one day, whoosh, you're going to find out where you're at. No, everyone is going to a place. Right. All right, when you die, you got to go somewhere, because remember, you don't die, you just move your dwelling place. Right. All right, you move from there to here. Yeah. So you move your dwelling place. One of them still on? Okay. So the bosom of Abraham was a place that they had seen in the Old Testament that they were going to go to, waiting for the Messiah to come, because they believed in a resurrection. Yeah. I mean, this wasn't foreign when Jesus started talking even. They knew those things. Right. They just didn't think he was the one to bring it. Right. They didn't think he was the Messiah because, number one, I think their eyes were blinded. We know that. But they wanted him. They wanted him to come the way they wanted him to come. Amen. Is that the same way we're looking at it? Do we want the Word to come the way we want it to come, or do we want it to come the way God wanted it to come? All right. We don't want it the way we'd like to have. Well, we'd like to have this, and we'd like to be able to sit at home and press play, and we'd like to be able to put our jammies on and watch service. And we're just lazy. I'm sorry. I'd do the same thing. But this is a pressing. This is a battle. Yeah. Yeah. This is something you got to face every day, something that's not normal. Right. Tomorrow's going to be normal. For us at work, you're going to get up in the morning, you're going to go to work. That's your normal routine. Most people take Sundays off in the world, and they party. They go to ball games. They do picnics. They go visit grandma. They go do all these different things on Sunday. Well, what do? We come to church. All right? So we're kind of weird. But we are fulfilling Scripture, so that's okay. So let's read this one more time. In the book of Luke, it came to pass that the beggar died. Now, the beggar's name is Lazarus. We're going to see this in just a few minutes. The beggar's name is Lazarus. Now, whether it's the Lazarus that Jesus resurrected, it doesn't say. It's not real clear. But we know the rich young ruler is the one that died. All right? The Brother Brown even brings it out, and I didn't bring the quote. So the rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes. Now, remember, for the person that asked the question, you look, hell is, at this moment, it's not burning as we know of burning fire. Right. All right? It's Sheol, Gehenna, a place that you're going to go that you have no, there's nothing there but torment because, as Brother Ryan said, it has no foundation. So you're just continually falling. How many has ever had a dream one time that I was falling? It was horrible. Amen. Woke up catching, you know, trying to catch yourself. Well, you're laying in a bed. Well, what about if that was over and over every day? If that feeling was every day and you knew then you were at a place that you were, that God was not there. Someone said one time, that's the worst hell you'll ever have is to know that you're at a place that you can't get to God. Because right now you can get to God. But you can't get to God then. God is not even in that dimension. All right? So now look. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. So when we look at these dimensions, there is somewhere that those overlap according to the Old Testament. All right, everybody with me? You don't have to agree with me, just listen. Because there was a witch of Endor, we're going to read it here in just a little bit, there's a witch of Endor brought up the soul of Samuel from a place. And that witch said, I see gods, many people in this different dimension coming up and down and all that. You understand what I'm saying? And then Samuel stands there, talks to her, and talks to Saul. He says, Saul, tomorrow you're going to fall in battle and you'll be with me. All right? So now let's watch, because that's the blood of bulls and goats. All right? There is sin still there. Now, I can't explain that. There's one thing I can't explain. Their soul was not born again. So their soul was not God at that moment. There was a covering for sin made, and we'll read it in the book of Hebrews. There was a covering for that. There was not an eradication of that. But see, thank God he knew that. And if they would do the ordinances of God and really in their heart feel that they've done that ordinance to take away their sin, then God would cover it until he went to Calvary. All right? Because the bosom of Abraham and paradise is going to be done away with. Yes. Now, let me caution you, because if you look into the Bible, is that heater on or the fan on? We've had a little mix-up because we've all the different times, and we usually don't have church on Sunday, but if it's on about 70, it's okay, I guess. Okay. So we come to a place that we look and see that paradise. Brother Branham will tell us that we walk down through the paradises of God. That's a different place. There was a paradise made, because Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise. All right? But there is the paradises of God that we're going to go, and the millennium won't be. Come on, the millennium's not the paradises of God. Amen. There's still going to be people there. There's going to be a man named Devil there. There's going to be different things that you're not going to have. But that new city will be none of that there. Amen. All right? That's the paradises of God that the people are going to walk out and be able to. We can't fathom what it would be like. Right. Amen. But it's there. And it's inside of you crying out today if you're born again. Right. That's where your paradise is. That's where your new city is. It's inside of you today. But that couldn't be inside of those believers with just a covering of bull, goat, blood, animal, turtles, doves, and all that stuff. That couldn't take away sin. But God so graciously put a place that he could keep them in, because he knew we were going to die, like I said before. He knew we were going to die, so as soon as Adam died, there was a place for him to go. As soon as different ones died, Isaiah, Jeremiah, all the Old Testament. As soon as Moses died, there was a place for them to go to. Right. They weren't floating around. So God had it all worked out. But we know that we see that in the Old Testament, speaking of the bosom of Abraham, and then Jesus saying, today you'll be with me in paradise, all right, which was when they died. He went to paradise with Jesus, but then they resurrected back up, and paradise was done away with. We'll get to that in just a few minutes. So in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off. So there must be a way that you could see through those dimensions, because there was, you know, you didn't have a place that says, all right, this is where, if you trusted in Jesus Christ, this is where you go. Because remember, you go back in the Holy of Holies, that thing covers, it stops. There's nothing, you can't look through it and look out back and look all these different places, just right there. All right? If y'all start falling asleep now, I'm going to put some holy water on you. It'll be real holy when I throw it at you. Holy cow. And Lazarus was in his book. Lazarus was safe. Whoever that rich young ruler was, and he was in torment, he could look and see someone that was in safety. Lazarus was probably sitting there beside of Abraham, and they were talking, and all of a sudden, the dimensions opened up, and here's the rich young ruler over in another place, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Now remember, that can't be a flame that consumes him. Right. All right, that can't be, because he would just went away. Right. But it was a fire that was burning that wasn't burning him up. Right. It was a torment. Right. But Abraham said, son, now look, this is Abraham talking to it. Abraham said, son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus received evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. How about that? That'll show you one thing's for sure. Money don't mean your position in heaven. Money don't mean you're going to get in a cushy place or not get in a cushy place. All right? Because if this beggar made it to heaven and the rich man didn't, there's a story there somewhere. All right? But now he is comforted and thou art tormented. Now watch. Now Abraham knew enough to tell Lazarus, or tell the rich young ruler, you can't switch back and forth. Praise the Lord. It thundered. And besides all this, now besides everything I've already told you, rich young ruler, between us and you there's a great gulf fixed. What is a gulf? It's a body of water that separates two pieces of land. And you can't get across you just can't walk across. And that's what he was telling. He said, look, in other words, you've made your choice and you are there. The beggar has made his choice and I've made mine and we are here. But you can't come over here and we can't go over there. Right. All right? Can't switch back and forth. Right. And besides this, between us and you are a great gulf fixed. So that they which would pass from hence to you, hence, where he was at, to you, cannot. Neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. Now here's the rich young ruler saying, okay, if I can't get out of this, send the message to my family, my brothers, my five brothers, don't come here. Do whatever you got to do to not come here. Amen. Sounds like the plan of salvation to me, if you'll get it. Yeah. For I have five brethren that he may testify to. Now watch, this is how God works. Because that sounds good. Right. I'm in a place of torment, and I want you to send somebody to my family's house and tell them don't come to this place. Abraham's fixing to tell him in so many words, they ain't going to do them no good. They got to decide. Not because you're burning up and you don't want them to burn up. They got to make a decision for their own self. For I have five brothers that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Now this is going to kind of cover a little bit what I was saying this morning. Because I'm telling you, without a believing set of eyes and a believing set of ears, you'll fall for anything, and you'll call good and bad and good. But good, bad, or bad, good. Because watch what Abraham said. Now watch. And Abraham saith unto him, says unto who? The rich young ruler that wants that message to come out into Lula Church today. Those of you that are with us. And Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. In other words, you're sitting in this dimension. You're hearing the voice of God, not me, the voice of God, teaching you, talking to you. Watch. But he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they'll repent. And Abraham said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead.
Amen.
That's what I was telling you this morning. You could announce all over the country that Brother Branham's come back from the dead and he's going to preach right here. There won't be no more people. There'll be all the excuses that need to be. And they'll not believe he's him, just like they didn't believe Jesus was Jesus. Sorry about that. That's what this whole thing is. This whole allegory is telling us about. Though someone come from the dead and say, I have come from... Listen, if you bless you, if you can't see Jesus Christ has come from the dead and he's in your heart, I can't put him in there.
Amen.
Your daddy can't put him in there. Your mama can't put him in there. You got to ask him to come in there. But he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets... Neither, in other words, what was that? That was a message. Moses and the prophets. Hey, that's pretty good. That wasn't just some corner street preacher. We're talking about Moses and the prophets. Neither will they persuade though one rose from the dead. Luke 23:39 says, one of the malefactors which was hanging railed on him and said, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answered, rebuking him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. Now, how do you know that? How do you know that? Because Jesus went to Pilate's hall that morning. They killed him that afternoon right here.
Right.
That was a revelation. That was him speaking with inspiration that he knew that this person, whoever it was, there was something way different about him, even though they saw him hanging on the cross. Because the other two were probably cussing each other out and cussing this and cussing that. And Jesus is just hanging there.
Right.
And he said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do. They knew he was different.
Right.
And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto you, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over the earth until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. Now watch. The veil of the temple was rent, and one scripture says top to bottom. All right. So there's no way, if that thing's like 40 foot tall, there's no way man could reach up there and do it and pull it down. It had to be God ripping it from the top to the bottom. Because what did that do? That told us that the veil was now going to be rent from the Old Testament to the New Testament. And then that would be unveiled. And your sin would be not covered, eradicated.
Amen.
That's what it tells me. That's what it tells me. There's a new order. But remember what they do. They sewed the thing back up, started sacrificing bulls and goats, went right back to doing the offering until AD 70, which was 40 years after Jesus died. They just kept right on doing it until they destroyed the temple.
Right.
And Jesus cried with a loud, that's what I'm telling you. Without a revelation, we are not going to make it. Without God revealing supernaturally to you why you're here and why this message is the way it is and why it's being told or preached the way it is, you're not going to understand it.
Right.
It's just going to be just like, I'm sorry, but it's like the old Charlie Brown thing with him and his teacher. Wow, 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 wow. That's about all you're going to get. Because you don't see the fervor of people anymore. You don't see the everything that we do needs to be hung on to the Word of God. When Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said this, he gave up the ghost. So where'd he go? Where'd he go? Now, Brother Ram tells us he went to hell first. Then he went to paradise and saw Abraham. Thank God for a prophet. So let's read that. Let's read in Numbers. A man that is clean shall gather up the ashes of the heifer and lay them up without the camp in a clean place. Now this is the red heifer that you have to kill the red heifer. You have to take its ashes and put it in water because it's waters of purification or separation. That's why that Israel is now producing red heifers. I mean, in reality. And can only have like three hairs can be a different color. Only three. How many hairs is on a bull? Or a heifer. I'm sorry. A heifer. Millions. Billions. Only three hairs could be a different color. Well, they say they got it now because of this artificial intelligence. They'd be able to do the DNA, and they've got them. They say they got several hundred of them. But that's what they need, because without that, they know the Messiah can't come because they have to be purified for their sin. Messiah's not going to come to the temple without the purification of sin. Listen, Messiah's not going to come to your temple without the purification of your sin. Right. But you hand them over to him, and he takes care of them, eradicates them, gets rid of them, and we ain't got to worry about them anymore. Right. But now we'll read here in a minute where Paul tells us that every year they made the same sacrifice over and over again. That's why God had to lay us apart over here for the Old Testament, for Samuel and for Saul and for all the ones. You know, sometimes we put Saul in hell. Samuel, he said, you'll be with me tomorrow. Right. Wherever Samuel was is where he was. Right. All right? So we have to be careful. The old saying is, you know, you get to heaven and you're going to wonder why in the world this person made it. And you're going to ask, well, what are they saying? They said, well, they're wondering how you made it. Yep. So we'll be surprised probably. And the man that is clean shall gather up the ashes of the heifer and lay them up without the camp in a clean place, and it shall be kept for the congregation of the children of Israel for a water of separation. It is a purification for sin. It's not an eradication of sin. It's a covering of sin. Amen. All right? And God honored that because that's what he told them to do in the Old Testament. But once the ultimate sacrifice came, all that changed. All right, so let's go to Hebrews 9 and verse 8. The Holy Ghost is signifying. Now look, there's no mention of the Holy Ghost in the Old Testament. It's the Spirit of God or the Lord and all these different things, but it never says Holy Spirit or Holy Ghost. Why? That was in Jesus. That's why, folks, that you have to be real careful. Nobody in the Old Testament had the baptism of the Holy Ghost in their soul. They couldn't. Right. Whatever God, I say whatever, I know, you know, whatever God had, he had the book of names. All right? He gave it to Adam, as I said this morning. Adam took the book. Everybody with me? All right? Then that was supposed to be that the Holy Ghost was going, who overshadowed Mary? Holy Ghost. Okay, thank you. Everybody with me now? Amen. The Holy Ghost overshadowed Mary. There was a seed and an egg, both planted in Mary, without sex. There was no emotion, no desire. Right? With me? Right. Now remember, he was the second Adam. That's the way the first Adam was supposed to produce. The second Adam produced it spiritually. Right. Because when you got born again, the seed of God was planted inside of you. Right. That had been over here before the fall. Everybody with me? So the book's here. Adam has the title deed, let's say, to eternal life, which is this. The ability to say, come forth, ever how you want to say. Tell it to Eve, or it would be no sex, it would be just speaking. Right. Spoken word is the original seed. All right. So that was the original way that was going to happen. But once Adam and Eve polluted both mind and womb, God shut the book. The Holy Ghost overshadowed Mary. So who's coming? The book's coming. It couldn't drop in Moses. It dropped on Moses. It couldn't drop, because I'll tell you something in just a minute. It could drop on Isaiah, but not go inside Isaiah. Right. It could drop on David and anoint David, but it didn't make David's soul eternal.
Amen.
Right? It would go upon this one, because if you'll remember, even John the Baptist. Now, the Bible says he got the Holy Ghost in his mother's womb. You can argue all you want to. He did not have the new birth.
Right.
Amen. He might have got the Holy Ghost, but he didn't have the new birth. The woman at the well did not have the new birth. The new birth only came when Jesus had this inside of him and said, the Holy Ghost is going to come back on you, not on you, but in you. I'll be with you even in you. In. Because remember, John the Baptist was told there would be one come. Remember? There'll be one come that when the Holy Ghost descends on that person, it'll not just go on them. It won't raise back up. It'll go in them. I believe the Bible says, John, look for the one that the Holy Ghost comes on and remains. The Holy Ghost never remained on anybody in the Old Testament except Adam. But Adam was imparted eternal life. He had to be, because he was the first one. He was the first one coming up. Excuse me, he wasn't born a baby. He wasn't born in sin. But the sin came afterwards. Everybody with me? It must be hot. Pinch yourself. So now the Holy Ghost didn't come until the day of Pentecost to dwell in a group of people. Those pillars of fire sunk into those people. They went in them. And they became what should have been over here in this book, the names in this book, Peter, James, John, all the other 11, even Matthias, that received the Holy Ghost. That's the way we should have come over here, born by the breath of God. We've been teaching that for a long time. So there was, listen, God is not the author of confusion, and he won't dwell in an unclean vessel. He won't dwell in an unclean place. So the paradise had to be a place to where people went that didn't have the Holy Ghost, but they were, that God knew by foreknowledge who they were, what they would be, what their heart would be. He knew David's heart. David's going to be there. Though we can tag murder, we can tag adultery on him. God can't. It was eradicated at Calvary. Everybody with me now? All right? So what is the bosom of Abraham? It's something God put in the Old Testament to put people in a place of holding. All right? Now listen, the ones that went on now that are in that sixth dimension, they're in a place of holding. But they are locked in there. They can't move to the fifth. They sure don't want to. And the fifth can't move into them. But over here, there was some way that there was a, could be a communication, because a witch brought up a prophet. A witch brought up a prophet in the Old Testament. Witch of Endor brought up Samuel. And they conversed. And even he took, and into this dimension we're in now, he said, Saul, tomorrow you're going to fall in battle and you'll be with me. But now, remember, over here, that can't happen. I'll read it to you. Brother Brown said there was something, there was a question asked online or something, and about where did you get that from, that, you know, people can't communicate. Well, Brother Brown said it. Once you die, he said, if you can talk to a saint, he said that's not a believer. I'll read it to you. Hang on, I got a quote for that. So the Holy Ghost, this signifying, now this is Paul talking, that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest. He's talking about the Old Testament. While as the first tabernacle was standing, what? The real tabernacle in the wilderness, and then Solomon's temple and all that. Everybody with me? The outer court, inner court, holy of holies. All right? which was a figure for the time then present. Right? In which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect.
Right.
As pertaining to the conscience. Which stood only in meats and drinks and divers washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them, look, until the time of Reformation. But Christ being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, what? Than the one that's in the wilderness and the one that's over there, the Solomon's temple and all that. Not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building. Paul's probably talking, he says, not of this building. But he's talking about this building.
Right.
Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us.
Amen.
Okay? For if the blood of bulls and goats and of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifying to the purifying of the flesh, how much more, Paul saying God allowed that in the Old Testament. But how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal spirit, not a spirit of an animal, the eternal spirit, offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. In other words, this can't do it, but this can.
Right.
All right? This can still hold you accountable. But if Christ hadn't come, they'd still be held accountable. But Christ came and took them and us. That's why his hands were out. He stood between heaven and earth. He stood between Old Testament and New Testament. Brought them all together. Now see, we're in the bosom of Christ. But I say Christ is in your bosom. And for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament. We'll read it this afternoon when we take communion. He said, this is my blood. This is the New Testament in my blood. That by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament. Old Testament. All right. They which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is of force after men are dead. Now remember, the ashes and the heifers and the spirits of those animals never could come back onto somebody and make them clean.
Right.
All right? Mortal men couldn't die and come back and can't come back and make somebody clean. He had to be God himself.
Amen.
He was the soul of God. So the soul of God can do whatever he wants to do. But he came to save your soul.
Amen.
For a testament is of force after men are dead. So Jesus had to die for the New Testament to become force. What? The book could start being named out. The names could be coming out on the day of Pentecost.
Right.
Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. No one received the new birth while Jesus was alive.
Right.
No one.
Right.
He was the new birth. He told Nicodemus, you must be born again. But that's telling Nicodemus that when I'm gone, you need to get born again.
Right.
All right? What'd y'all eat today? Y'all eat pasta? Don't eat carbs.
Amen.
Whereupon neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. Now remember, the first testament, it was dedicated. It had blood.
Right.
But it was the blood of an animal. It wasn't strong enough to do away with sin so that you could put these people in one place, an eternal place. Sixth dimension, all those people are eternal. Amen. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people, according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats with water, scarlet wool, hyssop, and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, this is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you. Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and the vessels of the ministry. But he couldn't get that inside of somebody. That couldn't go inside and change somebody. Because every year they did the same thing over and over again.
Yeah, right.
That's right.
And almost all things are by the law purged with blood.
Yeah.
And without the shedding of blood is no remission. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heaven should be purified with these. What? Animals. But the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these, Christ. All right? For Christ is not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are the figure of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Listen, Abraham was not in heaven.
Right.
Lazarus was not in heaven.
Nope.
All right? Nor yet that he should offer himself often. Christ don't have to offer himself every day for you. Bible says one time for all. Because what did he do? He didn't just barely sprinkle blood and just get rid of a few things. He got rid of everything.
Right.
That's what we got to believe, folks. We just don't believe that that blood's strong enough to take everything away from us. That's what's going to change our body.
Amen.
It's when we come to a place that we are the perfect, sinless bride of Jesus Christ, and we know that by our heart, not by our voice. Our quote. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto man once to die, but all after this the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time. That's us in the end time.
Amen.
That look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation.
Amen.
Now the book of Matthew tells us, it says Jesus, when he cried with a loud voice, he yielded up the ghost. Now remember, right before he died, he said, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." Mm-hmm. Told the thief on the cross, "You'll be with me in paradise." So somewhere between that time and this time, Jesus went to hell, come back up paradise. Pick this guy up, and we'll read it. Brother Brown said Abraham and some of the dead saints rose up, okay? And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to bottom, and the earth did quake and the rocks rent. And the graves were open. Now, if you'll look at that, the graves were not like this.
No.
Dirt doesn't hold a spirit.
Right.
Amen.
Dirt can't hold. Cement can't hold a spirit. Nothing can hold a spirit except God himself. So the graves were open. There was an opportunity for their theophany to come up out of that grave, because that theophany wasn't in the grave. It came and picked up what was in there and stood up on the earth. Right? And came out of the and the graves were open, and many bodies. Now, I don't understand who God picked. It didn't say all. It said many. Of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many.
Right.
So now that was the emptying of paradise. Because remember, the next person, the first martyr to die was Stephen. Now Stephen didn't go into paradise. There was no paradise for him to go into. That was after the new birth. The new birth, then there was a place, a sixth dimension, that the souls of the ones that were born again went into. And couldn't travel. And definitely don't want to come back over here. Not yet.
Right.
All right? Everybody with me?
Yeah.
We know this. Now, Brother Brown, we know this, that in the Old Testament, the blood of bulls and goats could not take away sin. It only covered sin. And the living just waiting in paradise for the day that sin should be taken away. But when Jesus came, the Son of God, the Messiah, he took away sin. He divorced it, never covered it. He took it away. Then now, since then, if this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, we have one waiting in glory. We go straight to the presence of the Father, there to be clothed in immortality. All right? 1953, demonology. Now, this witch of Endor, she called up the spirit of Samuel, and Saul talked with Samuel. Now, watch. Now, you might wonder how that could be done. It cannot be done today. No, sir, because the blood of bulls and goats was only awaiting for the time of fulfillment.
Amen.
When a man died in them days, Preachers, back me up if you think it's right. They probably didn't. When a man died, he died under the atonement of an animal, and his soul went into paradise. And there he stayed until the day of redemption, and his soul was in there. Everybody understand that what your soul is. Your soul is your theophany. Your soul is the spirit man that dwells inside of you, and it's you. And when the Bible says, if this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, we have one waiting. There's not something hanging up in a closet like this waiting for your soul to match that one. Right. Too many souls ran around. You're one soul. Amen. When you die, your theophany, your soul goes to whatever place that you've told it to go. Right. Amen. Everybody with me? So, you know, even Brother Branham will talk about theophany and about this being over here 20 feet away. Your soul is your theophany. There is nothing of you anywhere else. And I thank God for that. Why? It's very simple. I know what I got to fix. I got to fix me. I got to fix me. That over there is not perfect, and I got to make myself perfect to match it. No, when you get born again, that comes to you. That's that Genesis 1:26, man. The part of God that he saw before the foundation of the world comes and resides in your soul. Amen. And you and him are there together. Right. Not two souls, not hanging up somewhere and waiting on you to get there. Brother Bram said, you're building it right here. Right. Amen. So now look. Now, today, he could not break into that realm and get a righteous man out of that realm. He couldn't do it because righteous men are not in there where they used to be in paradise. No, sir. Paradise was done away with when the blood of Jesus took it away. All right? Everybody with me on that? 1953, demonology, Owensboro, Kentucky. The reason that the witch of Endor could call the spirit of Samuel, because Samuel couldn't go into the presence of God. Amen. The bosom of Abraham was not the presence of God. Right. It was the faith of Abraham that you go to a place and believe. Right. Believe that there's one coming that's going to take away your sins. Amen. Sorry. Right. When we go into another dimension, either our soul is born again or not. So there's not an in-between. But they went believing their prophets, believing the Ten Commandments, and believing the Messiah was coming. Now watch. Because Samuel couldn't go into the presence of God. Now Samuel was a prophet. Right. But he only had an anointing. He didn't have the Holy Ghost in his soul. Right. And if I may say, his soul was still black. But there was a time that God knew that Abraham would want that more. Well, he already proved it on the earth. Amen. He proved who he was on the earth. Now look, he was in paradise, for the blood of bulls and goats would not take away sin. But since Jesus died, he divorced sin, taking it away, and the believer now goes into the presence of God. Now see, that can be misconstrued. We don't go right in. Listen, mama's not, or my mama, not still here, but that's not walking around with Jesus today. But how many times have you heard that at a funeral? Are they either they're sitting at the feet of Jesus or they're walking with Jesus on streets of gold? That's not true. It sounds good. But that's not true. That's coming. But they are in a beautiful place. Don't worry about that. And the believer now goes into the presence of God. And he can't come back. Right. Now, what he's talking about before that, the Catholics were talking about interceding with saints. Talking to them back and forth. He said, you can't do that now. No, and he can't come back. Jesus said in Luke, when he was talking about the rich man, he can't return. Remember, there's a great gulf fixed. Right. So if you're interceding with any kind of a spirit of someone that's gone on outside of God, Christ, the only mediator between God and man, then you are in spiritualism called religion. Right. Now, where's spiritualism at? So be careful what you say about the Spirit of God. Communing with saints is spiritualism. All right? So be careful. All right, everybody with me? The bosom of Abraham was a place until God could come and die on the cross. There was a place that everybody went to, a paradise, and then it was a holding place.
Right.
Is everybody with me?
Amen.
Because Brother Brown tells us, and it was a long quote, so I'm going to just paraphrase it. Jesus died. He went to hell, kicked Satan into the house, took the keys of death and hell, but said he came back up through paradise, knocked on the door, and he said, Abraham, open the door, because it was the bosom of Abraham.
Right.
Everybody believed that Abraham was the father of all this.
Right.
And Abraham said, oh, that's the one we fed the calf to.
Yeah.
Right. Right? Each one saw him in their revelation, like Ezekiel saw. He said, oh, that's the wheel in the middle of the wheel. That's the one that did this. That's the one that did that. Oh, that's him.
Right.
Moses, that's the one that spoke to me in the burning bush. And what did he do? He took those saints and he took them up. Remember the scripture, lead captivity captive, give gifts to men, lift up ye everlasting gates. He had to do away with that. Because the next part that's coming is that we're going to get born again and then we're going to be put in a different place. We're not in paradise anymore. We're going to be put in a place where, thank God, Brother Branham got to go to and explain to us why and where it is at,
right,
and that we're eternal.
Right.
It's an eternal place.
Amen.
The people are all eternal.
Right.
It's not in the presence of God so much to say that God's there. But hadn't you ever felt the presence of God?
Right.
But you never saw a body.
Right.
You never saw Jesus floating around. You understand what I mean?
Right.
You felt his presence. They're in the presence of God all the time. We're in a wave. We get in the presence of God. We get in the presence of the devil. We get in the presence of this one, presence of that one. But over there, they're continually in the presence of God. So the bosom of Abraham is a place that people went before the new birth. That God could hold them there until he died. They were covered by the blood of bulls and goats till he died. When he died, that took that group of people with him, and he went and took them into a place, and they're waiting somewhere.
Right.
I'm not going to argue with whether they have bodies or not. That's not part of my eternal destination. Okay?
Right.
You can argue all you want to. I don't know.
Right.
Bible said they resurrected, so that's enough for me.
Right.
It's not going to make my revelation any better or worse. Right?
Right?
I mean, it's in the Bible 2 to 3 different ways, so you just leave it alone and go on. I know one thing's for sure. The bride of Jesus Christ that have passed on are in the sixth dimension. Their body's still laying in the tomb.
Right.
Amen.
That's all I'm worried about. Because the dead in Christ will rise first, so whoever God brings up, that's his business.
Right.
But we got to come to a place that they want to come here to get their bodies.
Right.
Everybody with me?
Amen.
All right? Now, let's go to the short one. Since you said you're going to cover some of the mysteries that Brother Branham covered, which we're going to, give us an overview of the 70 weeks of Daniel, please, in 25 words or less. Why are we quiet for? I know, because most of you are asleep. So. Daniel 9, let's go to Daniel 9:23. And you're going to be surprised, Brother Donnie. This is a surprise. It's going to not take very long. Because I want to explain something about Daniel 70 weeks real quick. Everybody look at me and quit looking over to wall. Look at me. Can somebody not look at me?
Right.
I'm the one preaching to you. The wall's not. If you don't like me, you can go somewhere else.
Yeah.
Put on some glasses that are like blinders, you know, and just listen to my voice because I believe I'm telling you the truth.
Amen.
I believe I'm telling you the truth.
Amen.
Daniel 70 weeks is to the Jews.
Right.
It is a Jewish restoration of, as we say, Christianity.
Right.
All right? The Jews rejected Christ. He didn't kill them and do away with them.
Right.
He said, I'll never forget Israel.
Amen.
All right? I'll never forget the Jews. Now, they will not have the same position as they used to have.
Right.
He divorced them, put them away. He said, but I can't forget them. They'll be my servants. Right now, they're lost.
Right.
Right now, they rejected their Messiah.
Right.
But God's going to come over here after the Gentile dispensation, and he's going to give them the Holy Ghost and take them in a rapture. Because they are to be the servants in the temple for me and you. They lost their bridehood, but they got their servanthood. Okay? But right now, they are, I was, you know, kind of the Jewish thing going on now. And there was this one guy, he was some kind of a anti-Semitic. You know, they're always wanting to destroy the Jews. Why are people wanting to destroy the Jews for? Because they killed Christ. A lot of people, their anti-Semitism is, y'all killed Christ. Well, if they hadn't killed him, folks, you wouldn't be here today. It was done for a purpose. Absolutely. It was done for a purpose. He blinded them. He blinded them himself. God blinded his own children so that me and you could be sitting here today. All right, so God's going to save a Jewish remnant. All right, and he's going to, and there is, Jews have a time period. All right, there's a certain time. There's not 13 tribes of Israel now, there's 12. There's not 146,000, there's 144,000. There's not 14 witnesses, there's two. So God's specific, even in Daniel, he says time, times, and dividing of times. One, two, and a half. So it'll be 3.5 years. Everybody with me? So God is specific with time when it comes to the Jews. Now, to me and you as Gentiles, time shall be no longer, according to Revelation 10. Remember the mighty angel raised his hand. He said, time shall be no more. And remember, everywhere we are depicted in the Bible, the bride depicted in the Bible, it's multitudes. There's no number. Multitudes. You can't count them. But you see 24 elders. You see 144,000. You see two witnesses. There's always a number. So God's going to give grace to the Jews. He's going to save them just like he saved us. They are going to be going to the millennium the same way we are. They're not going to be bride. I said this, they're going the same way. Everybody with me? But right now they can't do that. They rejected Christ. They rejected the Messiah. Somewhere that's got to be reconciled back. So there is a specific number of time to do that. Because they're Jews. So everybody with me now? So let's read Daniel 9. At the beginning of thy supplication, the commandment came forth. Now, Dad read this a long time ago. He went way back before he started Daniel 70 weeks. We may do that too. But Daniel was the one that said, oh, God, I want to know how much time we have left. Right. Prayed for long periods of time, fasted for long periods of time. Mm-hmm. And then finally, Gabriel shows up. And this is Gabriel talking to Daniel right here. Right. At the beginning of thy supplication. Just remember, if your prayer is sincere, God's not just at the end of it. God's at, hallelujah. God's at the beginning of it. He's the one that gives you utterance and unction to pray. Do we pray just in our own self? No. We have to have an unction that says, hey, pray for this person. Or somebody calls or somebody leaves us a text message. Hey, pray. And then you, in your heart, you stop and you say, God. Well, now, you want to pray for that person. Come on. You want to pray for that person specifically if God hadn't put that on your heart. I don't care if it come through text, WhatsApp, or whatever. It was a communication that got you into a channel to pray for somebody. Am I right? So Daniel wanted to know. He had been in captivity for 68 years. Daniel had been in captivity, and he knew that he only had a certain period of time. Here we go, time, certain period of time. And then he was going to get out. Now, what's going to happen? Lord, I want to know what's going to happen to my people. 2 more years. They were really in captivity, sure enough, 70 years, right? Ended up being 400-something years later on. All right, so this is a desire of a man's heart for his people. to know what's going to happen to my people. All right? So now, Daniel 9:23, at the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth. In other words, what? Gabriel got it from God to go tell Daniel what's going to happen. And I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Good way to get started. Therefore, be confused with the matter. No, it says, therefore, understand the matter.
Right.
So whatever's coming from Gabriel, Brother Aaron, is not confusion. Because
right.
This is Gabriel talking to Daniel the whole time.
Amen.
It's not Daniel talking, it's Gabriel talking.
Right.
And consider the vision. Now watch. Now here we go. If it's in the Bible, it's got to be explained as the Bible explains it, right? Because see, where everybody gets in trouble is, they say, well, Brother Branham said this. He can't say anything contrary to the Bible.
Right.
Or he's a false prophet.
Right.
He can't.
Right.
He cannot change the Bible.
Right.
He can give us clarity.
Right.
He can put it in its right place. But this is to the Jews. This is in its right place. You just got to understand it. So 70 weeks are determined. I'm going to break this down in a minute. 70 weeks are determined. What is that word determined? It's going to happen.
Amen.
This is what's got to happen. 70 weeks are going to happen upon thy people and upon thy holy city to do six things. Finish the transgression, make an end of sins, make reconciliation for iniquity, bring in everlasting righteousness, seal up the vision and prophecy, and anoint the most holy. So 70 weeks, inside of that 70 weeks, put your little parentheses, inside of that, those six things have got to happen.
Right.
Right. All right. Verse 25. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks. All right. Everybody with me?
Amen.
And 62 weeks. That's two distinct periods, right? Everybody with me?
Right.
A 7 week period and a 62, 66, 62 right. weeks. The street shall be built again in the wall, even in troublous times. So from Darius and all the Medes and Persians, way back over here, the edict came for them to rebuild the temple. It took them that period of time to rebuild the temple. And for Jesus to show up at the end of those 62 weeks.
Right.
Unto Messiah the Prince. That's Jesus, right?
Right.
And after, not during, all right, shake yourself just a minute. And after 62 weeks, shall Messiah be cut off. Now, we're going to go eat after we leave this building. We're not eating now.
Right?
Right? Right. It's after.
Right.
So after these 62 weeks, shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. Who was he cut off for? Us. Right.
Amen.
And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. Now that is Titus in AD 70 destroyed the temple, took it apart, and took it back to Rome.
Right.
Amen. All right. Amen. That's according to history.
Yep.
Right. And the end therefore shall be with the flood. Remember the flood ran out the gate. They killed everybody. They walled up Jerusalem, wouldn't let nobody out. They ate the bark off the trees. They ate their own kids. And therefore shall be with the flood, and so the end of the war, desolations are determined. Now, if we've got, we'll break it down in a minute, but look, we've got 7 weeks, 62 weeks. 62 and 7 is what?
69.
69. We got to have 70.
Amen.
Don't go quoting Brother Branham to me. He knew what he was talking about. And I know what he was talking about. Brother Dale and everybody sitting in this building pretty much knows what he was talking about.
Amen.
There's a mystery in there.
Right. That's right.
Because you can't make the Bible anything different.
Right.
And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. What? It was for us. And the people of the prince shall come, shall destroy the city, which was Titus, the Romans, They destroyed it, took it back to Rome, and the end therefore shall be with the flood, until the end of the war desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. We had 69. Now we got one more week, make 70. There are no half weeks in the Bible of Daniel 70 weeks. Not one. Not one. People in the message want to find it for me. Just find it in the Bible. Don't give me a quote. I want the Bible. Because the quote's got to fit the Bible. The Bible don't fit the quote. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease. We'll talk about that in just a second. And for the overspreading of abomination, he shall make it desolate. Even until the consummation. What is the consummation? Destroying everything. And that determined shall be poured out upon the desolate. You know, Brother Ram told us that we couldn't understand the seals unless we understood Daniel 70 weeks. Well, if you don't understand Daniel 70, if you understand it like most people in the message understand it, you can't put the woes in there, the vials, the plagues. You got them all happening some other time.
Right. Amen.
And we'll get into that later on when we get into Daniel 70 weeks. We'll go all the way to the future home. Amen. So now look. So now let's stop. Now, everybody open your eyes. 70 weeks. How do you know that's 490 years? Oh, Brother Branham said, that doesn't help me none. It's got to be in the Bible. All right, so let's just hold on for a minute. Let's go to Genesis 29:26. Laban, con man, conning a con man. Because what he done, he said, I'll give you Rachel. Gave him Leah on the wedding night. I don't know how that happened. Must have been real dark. So, Jacob comes out and says, you've tricked me. I asked for Rachel. I love her. And then Laban says, it must not be so done in our country to give the younger before the firstborn. He didn't have enough gumption to say, hey, buddy, you got to marry this one first. On the wedding night, what he done is he switched the girls.
Yeah.
Don't ever try that. Watch what he said, though. Fulfill her week. And we will give thee this also for the service which thou shalt serve with me yet 7 other years. And Jacob did so and fulfilled her week. If you keep reading on down the Bible, that's 7 years. He worked 7 years to get the right girl. Listen, this guy was in love with Rachel. Because he worked 7 years and got tricked. Then he worked, Laban said, well, dude, you got to work 7 more and you get the right one. What a con man. So he went ahead and worked 7 more years. He fulfilled her week. So 1 week equals 7 years in the Bible. All right? And I know it was a revelation. God took him to that scripture. But Brother Brown just didn't pull stuff out of the air. It had to be a Bible prophet. He had to have it in the Bible. Okay? So now 1 week equals 7 years. Everybody with me? So 70 weeks, 70 times 7 is 490 years. I know some of us went to school and made it through, and you can add that up and divide it and subtract it and multiply it. But 70 times 7 is 490 years. So it's going to take 490 years for God to restore Israel. Okay? Here's your bracket. 490 years. 70 weeks, or 490 years, are determined, and that word determined means decreed, upon thy people, who is that? The Jews. And upon thy holy city, Jerusalem. Here's where people in the message get it all mixed up. It's to two sets of situations.
Right.
It's to Daniel's people and to build the city back.
Right.
And it won't be built back right till they're in the millennium. Till right before the millennium. And we'll get into that later on. Then there's 6 things that God's going to do through 2 prophets.
Amen.
God had to send them a prophet.
Right.
He didn't send them a preacher. He sent them a prophet. He's going to send them 2. Moses and Elijah.
Right.
And they're going to preach to finish the transgression. They're going to preach to make an end of sins. They're going to make reconciliation for iniquity. And number four, bring in everlasting righteousness. Number five, seal up the vision in prophecy. And number six, to anoint the most holy. All right, everybody got it? 70 weeks is 490 years. That's the time it's going to take to bring Israel back, 490 years. All right? So 1 week equals 7 years. We've already established that. Laban said, fulfill her week. So he fulfilled 7 years. Also in Matthew 18, said Peter came to Jesus and said, Lord, how oft should my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Seven times. Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee unto seven times, but 70 times seven. He told him exactly how long it would take to get Israel back to where they're supposed to be. So he's going to forgive them 70 times 7, 490 years. All right, now look, follow me real fast. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem, we'll get into that. There was some people, Nehemiah, different ones, come and said, look, we need a temple. Amen. We need a city with walls. Right. And they built a city with walls. But they built it in troublous times because they had a trowel in one hand and a sword in the other. Because all the neighbors knew if they built that city back, God was going to be in that city or that temple. So they used a trowel to build the wall, and they had a sword in his hand to fight, even in troublous times. All right, everybody with me? So from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem, the city, unto the Messiah, the prince, which showed up and birthed in 4 BC, and we'll study that later on, shall be 7 weeks. What is 7 weeks? Seven times seven is 49. You can read it right there. I ciphered that for you last night, or this morning. And 62 weeks. 62 weeks times seven is 434 years. Is everybody with me? Right. You got it?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So now, the street shall be built again in the wall, even in troublous times. I just told you what it was. So 7 weeks plus 62 weeks is how long? 69 weeks. All right? Right. Not 70. Not 69 and a half. Not 68 and a half.
Right.
69. So 69 times 7, if you got 69 weeks, 1 week equals 7 years. 69 times 7 is 483. We need 490.
Right.
And what's 483? Or what's 490 minus 483? It ain't three and a half. Seven. 1 full week left as of today. There's 1 week left to go to the Jews. But now, Brother Brown, I'm going to tell you this real quick. I don't care what he said if it ain't in the Bible. And I'll tell anybody that. It's got to be in the Bible. If he was a Bible prophet, he had to match the Bible. The Bible don't match his quote. I'm sorry, that may be plain, but I know God. If Brother Brandon was standing right here, he'd say that ain't nothing but the truth. Because he's the one that said it. So 69 times 7 is 483. The goal is 70 weeks are 490 years. So after 62 weeks, Messiah was cut off. Everybody with me? And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince shall come and destroy the city. We read that. So at that time when Christ died, the Jews said, let his blood be on us and our children. They crucified him. They put him on the cross. All right? But they did it for me and you. He is now turning to a Gentile age of approximately 2,000 years. The church ages. We just got finished where we're in the seventh. All right? So Christ died, come back on the day of Pentecost, and there's been 2,000 years, and then we're getting ready to close it off. And then what's going to happen? what's going to happen? Because Brother Brown is, and I'm emphatic on this. We're not going to see the Antichrist in his fullness. We're gone. We're gone. When he becomes incarnate in a man, we're gone. So he, now here's verse 27. Let's find where that next week is. We got to have one more week. And he, now remember that he, you could say, well, that's Christ. This he breaks a covenant. Christ never breaks covenants. Man breaks covenants. So this guy's going to break a covenant. Therefore, he is anti-Christ. And he, Antichrist, shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week or 7 years. And in the midst of the week, which is 3.5 years, he shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease. He's standing in the temple telling Israel he's God. And they still time left. Because it's got to be 1 week left after we gone. Not 3.5. There's only 3.5 years of ministry? Absolutely. But to finish time on the earth of that 490 years, to put them in the millennium, you can't stop it at the Battle of Armageddon. Prove it to me. Prove it to me. Because I'll tell you something. The whole thing, if you want to get the whole gist of Daniel 70 weeks, go back to the sixfold purpose.
Yes. Yes, sir.
Amen. Go to the sixfold purpose and really read it. If there's only 3.5 years left, listen to me. If there's only three, as people say there are, they're not. There's only 3.5 years of ministry left. But those six things, if they're all done in that 3.5 year period before the Battle of Armageddon, you've built a temple, you've anointed the most holy, and now you've destroyed it.
Right.
Hello?
Right. Exactly.
But Brother Brown's totally correct. There's only 3.5 years of Jesus' ministry left. That's in the Bible, 1,260 days. But you got to separate that from the 1 week left, because Brother Branham, in the 70 weeks of Daniel, the last thing he preached was the 70th week. And he said seven times that there's 1 week left after the rapture.
Right.
All right. Oh, well, they say, well, he got this new revelation when he the seals open. That's okay, but that new revelation better match this.
Right.
It better match the Bible or it's wrong. And it did. They just weren't understanding. He's talking about a week of Messiah ministry.
Right.
3.5 years over here, 3.5 years here, over there when Jesus, then 3.5 years here. Yes, that encompasses all of Daniel 70 weeks of those six, those 3.5 and 3.5. But to finish time, Jews and city. Remember that, Jews and city. There's got to be 7 years left after the rapture. Because it says right here, and he shall make a confirm the covenant of many for 1 week. I had a brother tell me the other day. He said, well, now, Brother Brown said the Messiah was cut off in the midst of the week. Show it to me in the Bible. Show it to me in the Bible. You got about, you can have all day. You can call me next week. So then Brother Brown's not talking about that week. He's talking about he was cut off in the week of the midst of the week of the Messiah ministry of Jesus Christ. There's your mystery that Brother Dale saw in 1974 and been preaching ever since. I'll stand up in front of anybody. I see this. But you can't get it wrong. Because listen, if there's only 3.5 years left, where are you going to put the last woe? The last woe is the Third World War.
That's right.
The vials have got to be poured out during the tribulation period. We'll get to it.
Amen.
So let's read one more time. Then we'll get ready for communion. 70 weeks are determined. There's going to be 490 years until Israel is restored back and the city. They have to have a city. We don't. We're nations, tongues. But 70 weeks are determined upon thy people, the Jews, and thy holy city, Jerusalem, to do six things. All right? Now, finish transgression. Now, come with me here. Listen, real quick. Two prophets are going to preach what? Salvation. Repentance for 1,260 days. All right? It's going to finish their transgression. It's going to make an end of their sins. And it's going to reconcile them back to Christ so that he can give them the Holy Ghost and they can go in a rapture. Are catching away. They're catching away. Everybody with me? All right? But there's three more left. So if all that's got to happen in 3.5 years, so you're going to bring in everlasting righteousness before you destroy the earth? No. You're going to seal up the vision and prophecy in the people? No. And they're gone? And you're going to anoint the most holy? You're going to build a temple and anoint it and then destroy it? No. There's your key right there. The Daniel 70 weeks, the sixfold purpose is, three of them happen while the two prophets are here, that 3.5 years. And then the other 3.5 years is where you're going to have the third woe poured out. The vials are going to be poured out. There's going to be a great tribulation. There's going to be a battle of Armageddon. Yep, right. Right. Come on. Then the Jews are going to come back, according to Ezekiel 40:44. They're going to build a temple back. To finish the 70th week of Daniel and put them in the millennium. And we come, Revelation 19, we come into the temple. And Brother Brown said, to anoint the most holy was when we, the bride, enters into the temple. Now, how is that going to happen in just 3.5 years and then the Battle of Armageddon is going to destroy the temple we're supposed to go into? It's so simple it confounds 99% of the people in this message just because of a couple of quotes Brother Branham said. And I'm not, but you know it as well as I do. Brother Branham was not wrong. Right. He knew what he was talking about. We just don't.
Right.
He knew what the Bible said. But he also knew that was to the Jews, and to get away from all the peripherals, he said, all right, there's 3.5 years of Jesus' ministry over here. He was cut off in the midst of that week. Right. Amen. Then there's 3.5 years more for the Jews. That's your whole 70 weeks of Daniel. It's the ministry of Jesus Christ, but it's a one-week Messiah ministry. And that's what Brother Brown was talking about when somebody said something over here in the seals. He said, no, 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 nay, 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 that's not what I said. Well, now, what the brother said is exactly what Brother Brown said.
Yeah. Right.
Don't get quiet on me.
Right.
Exactly. Yes, that's the Son of Man. He preached it himself. We're getting that right now. We're getting that ministry. Well, that's then going to go. The baby's going to be born, and then we're going to give the baby. Remember the story of Boaz and Ruth? They have a baby. Boaz, Ruth was a Gentile. Boaz was type of Christ. They marry. They have a baby. What do they do with that baby? They give it. They give it to Naomi, the Jewish mama. This message is so real. It's going to go to them, and they're going to see Christ. I want to know, though, that we see Christ in us now. Do they see Christ in us now? So there's your Daniel 70 week. There's 7 years left after the rapture to finish the time of Daniel 70 weeks, the people and the city. There's only 3.5 years ministry left. Absolutely, because that's what the Bible says. But you've got to get them in a temple. And then that temple is anointed with something. And Brother Branham, if we believe he was a prophet, he said, we are the anointing to the temple. Now, do we come back in the middle of the Battle of Armageddon? No. We come back in Revelation 19, riding into the millennium, in that temple that the Jews are. How are they going to do it? I don't know. But Brother Brown said one thing. He said, Gentiles don't know how to build a temple. And we don't need one. Jews know how to build a temple. You read Ezekiel 40-44. It is specifically a certain length, a certain height, a certain color, a certain this, a certain that. We're not going to build it. Those Jews are going to build it.